few weeks ago, I spoke on the subject of heaven, and on that occasion I mentioned the fact that angels would be there and involved, and since then I've been asked if I would speak on the subject of angels. I told the story to the children about the missionary and his colleague on a journey with money. On another occasion, a culpeper working in Persia, and a man approached him and asked him if he had the right to sell the Bibles. Yes, he answered, we're allowed to sell these books anywhere in the country. And the man looked puzzled and asked, how is it then that you're always surrounded by soldiers? I planned 3 times to attack you, and each time seeing the soldiers, I left you alone. Now I no longer want to harm you. Were those soldiers heavenly beings? So first of all, we can say that angels are real. We can say that angels are real. Angels are created beings. The Bible states that angels, like human beings, were created by God. At one time, there were no angels existed. Indeed, nothing existed but the triune God. Paul tells us in Colossians 1 and 16, for by him all things were created in, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. And again we are told in verse 17, he, that is Jesus, is before all things, and in him all things hold together. So angels were created by God, and even they would cease to exist if Jesus, who is the Almighty God, did not sustain them by his power. In Nehemiah 9 and 6 we read, you alone are the Lord. You made the heavens and the highest heavens and all the starry hosts and earth and all that is in them. You will give life to everything, and the multitudes of heaven worship you. So according to Scripture, long before the creation of man, God created an innumerable company of beings described as angels. And in Revelation 5 and 11, John said, then I looked and heard the voice of many angels, numbering thousands upon thousands, 10,000 times 10,000. They encircled the throne on the living creatures and the elders. How many angels are there? While the scriptures do not define the figure, we are told that the number of angels is very great, numbering thousands upon thousands and 10,000 times 10,000. And when Jesus was being arrested, you will remember that one of the disciples drew his sword and struck the high priest and cut off his ear, a servant of the high priest cut off his ear. Jesus said, put your sword back into its place. Do you not think that I cannot call my Father and he will at once put at my disposal more than 12 legions of angels? 10,000 angels came down to Mount Sinai to confirm the holy presence of God as he gave the law to Moses. Think of it, multitudes of angels. Some biblical scholars describe, believe that angels can be numbered potentially in the millions, since it says in Hebrews 12 and 22, speaks of an innumerable company of angels. It appears that all angels were created at one time. No new angels are being added to the number. You know, sometimes we hear people say that someone has left us and they're now an angel in heaven. Those who die in the Lord go to heaven, but they do not become angels. Also, angels are not subject to death or any form of extinction. Therefore, they do not increase in number or decrease in number. Are angels visible or invisible? The Bible states that angels, like mankind, were created by God. Angels are among the invisible things made by God, for all things were created by him, visible and invisible. It seems that angels have the ability to change their appearance and shuttle in a flash from heaven to earth and back again. The empire of angels is as vast as God's creation. If you believe the Bible, then you will believe in their ministry. They appear and disappear. The writer to the Hebrews says, are not all angels ministering spirits sent to serve those who will inherit salvation? Therefore, they do not have physical bodies like humans. Jesus declared, a spirit hath not flesh and bone, as you see I have. And so the Bible does, however, make it clear that angels can only be in one place at one time. They may have some localized presence. Angels can take on the appearance of men and on other occasions it demands. How else are we told in Scripture that we could entertain angels unawares? On the other hand, they appear sometimes as dazzling white and in blazing glory. So as I said, angels can also appear in a physical form. Dr. S. W. Mitchell, a well-known urologist in Philadelphia, he'd gone to bed after an extremely busy day. Suddenly he was awakened by someone knocking at the door. Opening it, he found a little girl, poorly dressed and deeply upset. She told him that her mother was very sick and asked if he would please come with her. It was a bitter, cold, snowy night, but though he was bone-tired, Dr. Mitchell dressed and followed the girl. He found the mother desperately ill with pneumonia. After arranging for her medical care, he complimented the sick woman in the intelligence and persistence of her little daughter. The woman looked at him strangely and then said, my daughter died a month ago. Her shoes and coat are there in the cupboard. Dr. Mitchell, amazed and perplexed, went to the closet and opened it. And there hung the very coat worn by the little girl who had brought him to attend to her mother. It was warm and it was dry and it could not possibly be night on that winter's night. Could the doctor have been called in the hour of desperate need by an angel who appeared as a woman's young daughter? Was this the work of God's angel on behalf of the sick woman? On the other hand, the Bible indicates angels are often invisible to the human eye. The incident recorded in 2 Kings chapter 2 and verse 6, that Elisha was surrounded by the king and his army. Elisha's servant was very worried and asked, oh my God, what shall we do? Elisha told him not to be afraid. Those who are with us are more than those who are against us. The servant was greatly puzzled. And then Elisha prayed, O Lord, open his eyes so that he may see. Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked and saw the hill full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. Just like the stories I told the children about the missionary in China and the policeman. Billy Graham said, I am convinced that these heavenly beings exist and that they provide unseen aid on our behalf. I do not believe angels because someone has told me that a dramatic visitation from an angel, impressive as such rare testimonies may be. I do not believe in angels because UFOs are astonishingly angel-like in some of their reported appearances. I do not believe in angels because I have ever seen one, because I haven't. I believe in angels because the Bible says they're angels. And I believe the Bible to be the true word of God. It's often asked the question, where did Satan come from? It is in Daniel that the most dramatic reveals the contrast on bitter conflict between the holy angels faithful to God and the angel of darkness allied with Satan. This Satan, or the devil, was once called Lucifer, the son of the morning. Along with Michael, he may have been one of the two archangels, but he was cast from heaven for his rebel forces and continues to fight. Many people ask, how could this conflict come about in God's perfect universe? The Apostle Paul calls it the mystery of iniquity in 2 Thessalonians 2. While we may not have been given as much information as we would like, we do know one thing, that the angels who fell because they had sinned against God. In 2 Peter 2 and 4 we read, God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. And Jude tells us the angels who kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he was reserved in everlasting chains until darkness, until the judgment of the great day. Therefore, the greatest catastrophe in the history of the universe was Lucifer's defiance of God and a consequent fall of perhaps one third of the angels who joined him in his wickedness. When did this happen? It must have happened sometime between the dawn of creation and the invasion of Satan into the Garden of Eden. It is difficult to suppose that their fall occurred before God placed Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. We know for a fact that God created creation in 6 days and rested the seventh day, and he pronounced everything to be good. And by implication, up to this point, even the angelic creation was good. So we might ask, how long were Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden before the angels fell and before Satan tempted the first woman? This question must remain unanswered. All we can say possibly is that Satan was cast out of heaven after his creation when he sinned, and then he came into the Garden of Eden, and he tempted Eve to sin against God. Now, God's angels often protect his servants from Satan and potential enemies. Some believe strongly that each Christian may have his own guardian angel assigned to watch over him or her. This guardianship possibly begins in infancy. For Jesus said, take heed that you do not despise one of these little ones. For I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father who is in heaven. The most important characteristic of an angel is not that they have power to exercise control over our lives, but that they work on our behalf. They are motivated by an inexhaustible love of God, and they're jealous to see that the will of God in Jesus Christ is fulfilled in us. David said of the angels, he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Mighty, for he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. He will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Dr. Nelson Bell, the late father-in-law of Dr. Billy Graham, told the story of what happened in China where he worked. This happened in 1942 after the Japanese had won the war with China. One morning around 9 o'clock, a Japanese truck stopped outside the bookshop where he often bought his books. It was carrying 5 Marines and was half filled with books. The Christian Chinese shop assistant, who was alone at the time, realized with dismay that they had come to seize his stock of Christian books from his shop. Jumping from the truck, the Marines made their way for the shop door. But before they could enter, a neatly dressed Chinese gentleman entered the shop ahead of them. And though the shop assistant knew practically all the Christian customers who traded there, this man was a complete stranger. For some unknown reason, the soldiers seemed unable to follow him, and they loitered about looking in at the 4 large windows, but not entering. For 2 hours, they stood around until 11 o'clock, but never set foot inside the door. The stranger asked what the man wanted. In the Chinese shop assistant explained that the Japanese were seizing stocks from the bookshops in the city, and now it was the turn for his store. The two prayed together, and the stranger encouraged him, and so the 2 hours passed. At last, the soldiers climbed into their army truck and drove away. The stranger also left, without buying a single purchase or even inquiring about any item in the shop. Later that day, the shop owner returned. The shop assistant said to him, "Mr. Lee, do you believe in angels?" "I do," said Mr. Lee. "So do I," said the shop assistant. Could that stranger have been one of God's protecting angels? Dr. Bell always thought so. Every true believer in Christ should be encouraged and strengthened. Angels are watching. They mark your path. They superintend the events of your life and protect the interests of the Lord, always working to promote His plans and to bring His highest will for you. Paul said, "We have been made a spectacle to the whole universe, to angels as well as to men." 1 Corinthians 4:9. God assigned angelic powers to watch over you. The majority of Christians can recall some incident in which their lives in times of critical danger have been miraculously preserved. A near car accident, an almost, and if I had been there, and I should have been. And though they may not have seen angels, their presence could explain why that what tragedy was averted. They should always be grateful for the goodness of God, who uses these wonderful friends called angels to protect us. Some years ago, a young man was driving his mini car from Ballymoney to Ballymena, when suddenly a large car came speeding towards him, pulled out to pass a parked vehicle, and hit the man in the mini head on. You can imagine the disaster. You can imagine the wreckage. I walked out of that accident and didn't even go to hospital. Why was that? I could give other examples of situations that we found ourselves in Nigeria whenever we were working there. Evidence from Scripture as well as personal experience confirms to us that individual guardian, guiding angels attend at least some of our ways and hover protectively over our lives. The Scriptures are full of dramatic evidences of the protective care of angels in their earthly service to the people of God. You remember whenever Peter was in prison, an angel appeared into the prison cell, shook Peter awake, and told him to prepare to escape. His chains fell off, the doors opened, and Peter passed through. What a mighty deliverance God achieved through his angel. The angel who rolled away the stone from the tomb of Jesus was only dressed in white, but shone as a flashing lightning with dazzling brilliance. The guards of the tomb shook and became as dead men. Also note that the stone was so large that it could take several men to move it. And yet, a single angel had no problem moving it from the mouth of the grave. We can also say that angels have been used as God's agents in judgment. In 2 Kings 19, we read of God using angels to execute his judgment. King Hezekiah had received a letter from the commander of the Assyrian forces and immediately sought God's counsel. And God gave Isaiah the answer, saying that not one Assyrian arrow would be fired into the city. He promised to defend Jerusalem. And dramatically that night, just one angel struck the Assyrian encampment, and 185,000 soldiers were found dead, on the field of battle the next morning. A single angel destroyed the Egyptian firstborn. Every believing Jew offered sacrifice and sprinkled the blood over the doorpost and lintel of their homes. The firstborn of every unbelieving Egyptian or Israelite household died under the judgment of a holy God who sent one angel to carry out his judgment. Of course, we know that angels were present with Abraham and Lot. Angels ministered with Jesus. They appeared in the shepherds whenever he was born. They were with him in the Garden of Gethsemane. Angels waited at the cross. They were present at the tomb after his resurrection. And they were present whenever he ascended up into heaven. In telling the story in Luke chapter 16, Jesus says that a beggar was carried by the angels. He was not escorted. He was carried. What an experience that must have been for Lazarus. We have seen on our television screen the welcome our Queen receives after an overseas trip, the parade of dignitaries, the marching bands, the troops, the waving flags that accompany the homecoming of the Queen. However, that is nothing compared to the homecoming of a true believer who has said goodbye to this world and is going to the world that God has prepared for them. Angels are present. The Apostle Paul said, "We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord." What a glorious day that will be whenever the angels will come and the angels will escort us into the presence of the Savior with astonishing joy and all that it means to receive life everlasting. What about angels in our lives today? In the early days of the World War II, British Air Forces saved it from invasion and defeat. In her book, Tell No Man, Adlai Rogerson John describes a strange aspect of that weeks-long air war. Her information comes from a celebration held some months after the war, honoring Air Chief Marshal Lord Downing. The King, the Prime Minister, and scores of dignitaries were there. In his remarks, Air Chief Marshal recounted the story of his legendary conflict, where his pitiful small complement of men rarely slept, and their planes never stopped flying. He told about airmen on a mission who, having been hit, were ill or seriously injured or dead, yet their planes kept flying and fighting. In fact, on occasions, pilots and other planes would see a figure still operating the controls. What was the explanation? The Air Chief Commander said that he believed that angels had actually flown some of the planes whose pilots sat dead in their cockpits. That angels piloted planes for dead men in the Battle of Britain, we cannot firmly prove. But we have already seen from Scripture some of the things that angels have certainly done, can do, and are yet going to do as history approaches its climax. The important question for each of us is how angels can assist us in our lives here and now. We know that God has given his angels charge over us so that without their help we could never get the victory over Satan. The fact that Almighty God is so concerned about the care of his beloved children that he has hosts of angels in his presence ready to be dispatched to their aid, demonstrating clearly how valuable believers are. At a moment's notice, Jesus can tell his angels to go to any particular situation. Let us remember, angels rejoice in the salvation of sinners. As Mr. Kirk said in his prayer, just what must you do to cause the angels to rejoice? In Luke 15 and 10, we're told, "There is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. There is joy in heaven over one sinner that repents." Next of the apostles, the Philippian jailer asked Apostle Paul, "What must I do to be saved?" And Paul gave him a very simple answer, "Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved." The one and only way that you can be converted is to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You don't have to straighten out your life first. You don't have to try to give up some habit that is keeping you from God. You have tried all that before and failed many times. You can come just as you are. The blind man came just as he was. The leper came just as he was. The thief on the cross came just as he was. And you can come to Christ just as you are, wherever you are. And the angels of heaven will rejoice. When speaking to the woman at the well who was living with a man who was not her husband, Jesus addressed the fact of her sin. And then he offered her the salvation that she needed. Her sin was never excused or ignored. But forgiveness was offered to anyone who recognized the truth of their sin and her willingness to confess and to forsake it. And while God certainly expects us to have our sins, to leave our sins, that comes as a part of our salvation, not as a precondition. We're not able to clean ourselves up first. We need God's help. God is amazing. Gracious, loving, and forgiving. And so he calls us to salvation. Even though we don't deserve it, while we're still sinners, Christ died for us, making it possible for us to receive forgiveness. He requires us to confess and to forsake our sin whenever we come to him, but receives us just as we are, then begins to change us as we submit to him in obedience. And so let us never forget that there's rejoicing in heaven over one sinner that repents. Scripture reminds us there's rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. I trust there will be rejoicing in heaven this day with the angels and with the saints in heaven over sinners who repent. Will you cause that rejoicing? Will you seek the Savior and know the joy of sins forgiven and to be rejoicing in heaven with the angels? Let us pray. Eternal God and loving Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for your word, and we thank you for reminding us that you have created all things. But we thank you for reminding us of the power of angels, of the presence of angels, of the support of angels. And we pray that today that we will recognize that you are surrounding all around us. And we pray that today that many will seek the Savior, and they will know the protecting hand of God, and they will rejoice in heaven with the angels. For we ask it all in our Savior's name. Amen.